Welcome to the Pac-12 Men's Basketball Coaches Conference call. To ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad. I will now turn the call over to Dave Hirsch.
All right, thank you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Pac-12 Coaches Media Teleconference call. Up first will be Arizona coach Sean Miller. The Wildcats are on the road at USC tomorrow night and then at UCLA on Saturday. We'll go ahead and take questions for coach.
To ask a question, press star 1. Your first question comes from Chris Foster, Los Angeles Times.
Hi, Sean. How are you doing today? I was wondering, when you were growing up back east and playing back east, what was kind of the perception of the Pac-12 whenever UCLA and Arizona were having significant years?
During my time, are you talking about when I was in college playing or coaching or what period of time?
Coaching, basically. When UCLA and Arizona were having good years, how did that change the perception of the Pac-12 kind of nationally?
Well, I think everybody always has respected the Pac-12 and, back then the Pac-10. The NCAA tournament, obviously UCLA recently going to 3 consecutive Final Fours under Ben Howland, and, the great history and tradition of UCLA speaks for itself. And really the same under Coach Olson here at Arizona, the great teams and the players, we're all defined by how things occur in the month of March. And, are you in the tournament? Do you advance in the tournament? Are you in the Final Four? And I think the success of both UCLA and Arizona in the months of March, has always been a real big reason why respect has been paid to our conference and the great teams out west. And then obviously Mike Montgomery, what he did at Stanford, and Lorenzo Romo, what he did at Washington. I think everyone respects the quality of our conference's history.
Thanks, Sean.
Your next question comes from Diane Christine, Los Angeles Times.
Sean, I'm doing a story on Solomon Hill and a little bit about how Arizona benefited so much when Floyd left USC. So first of all, can you tell me how Solomon gives to your team and how he's progressed the last couple of years?
Well, Solomon is the epitome of a self-starter, an incredibly hard worker, somebody who's talented, but his disposition, his work ethic, who he is both during the season and outside of the season is really what's made him the player that he is today. He, since day one, even as long ago as his freshman year, has been one of the most competitive players in practice, and that's really even catapulted here in recent years where he's our best practice player every day. And because of that, he has the incredible respect of his teammates, and I think you've seen that he's added almost an element to his game each year that he's been here at Arizona. His body right now, he has, I think, 8% body fat. He's moving better than he ever has. And, as a freshman, Solomon made 4 three-point shots. You look at the percentage he's shooting and the number of threes that he's made on this season. I know, for example, against Washington State a few weeks back, in the first half alone, he made 6. So it's a true testament to hard work and someone we're really proud of.
He talked a little bit yesterday about what a team they would have had at USC if he and Derek Johnson and Mama Jones had all stayed like it would look like it was going to be. They were close to a national championship team, weren't they?
Yeah, I can't speak on that. I wasn't here when all that happened. And, I don't know if all those guys collectively were going to go there or not.
They had committed, but they had signed letters and then were released. But he and Derek alone, if you put he and Derek on the same team, it's a pretty good team.
Yeah, I don't think Solomon signed, though.
He said he did. I'll have to check. But
you may want to check that one.
Okay. But Arizona was the biggest beneficiary from all of that. Are you happy that Solomon that Floyd left USC and you got Solomon and got a chance to be with Derek?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not happy that that happened to Tim Floyd. He's a great, great coach, and, that was a tough situation. But, we certainly benefited at a time of great need. I look back to that spring when I came here, one of the things that we really had to offer was great opportunity.
Solomon graduated. His graduation ceremony was at Galen Center. He said it's kind of funny when he gets to play basketball there because that's where he graduated from high school. So he's got different kinds of memories at Galen. So, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The next question comes from Tom Kinsler, Denver Post.
Sean, it seems like coaches around the country, at least when I talk to get on some other teleconferences or whatever, that are paying more attention to the RPI and some other indicator power ratings, so to speak. Are you in that group, and you know, why do you think that is, and did it affect maybe your non-conference scheduling?
No, we really don't pay that much attention to the RPI once our season begins. I would say that we certainly check on it at the end of our non-conference season because, you know, as responsible as you are for a lot of things running a college basketball program, you know, putting your team in a given year in the best position to be successful is part of it. And who you decide to play and where those games are played, and then inevitably how you perform in those non-conference games is a big factor in the way the world works today in a college basketball season. So, you know, we look at it from that perspective, and then once our conference season begins, you know, you're at the mercy of how everybody has scheduled and how they did prior to our conference beginning. At this point, you know, we quit worrying about that a long time ago, and I think we'll certainly in the spring look back to see how we felt about our scheduling, and we use that as a resource moving forward. But in terms of looking at it weekly now, no.
Thanks a lot.
Your next question comes from Bud Withers, Seattle Times.
Sean, kind of an off-the-track question for you. As you probably know, it's the 25th anniversary of Jerome Lane's backboard-shattering dunk back at Pitt. I just wondered what you recall about that, and have you kept in any touch with him?
You know, Jerome, not so much, just from a distance, and, you know, the dunk has kind of kept us in touch from a distance for a long time, but you know, like anyone, I have certain teammates and friends that I went to school with that you continue to stay in touch with 25 years later. We had a great group. But, yeah, I mean, it's a memorable moment. You know, out here in the West, they may not recognize it quite as much as they do back there. But nonetheless, you know, Big Monday, nationally televised game, one of the great plays that's probably ever happened in live moments on national television.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question comes from Doug Holler, the Arizona Republic.
Sean, in your opinion, who are maybe two or three of the top defensive players in the conference this year?
The best defensive player in our conference, and I think he's the best defensive player in the country, is Andre Roberson. I know that going into our game, he was leading college basketball in defensive rebounding. You know, I think that's one thing if maybe someone like a Jeff Withey did that, who's 7 feet and always positioned close to the basket, but I think it's remarkable when you consider how agile he is and how many times he's guarding players like, you know, Alan Crabb or Solomon Hill away from the basket, and yet for him to be that prolific as a defensive rebounder, it doesn't happen very often. I know guarding really good players, being able to shut them down, he may be the most versatile of anyone I've ever seen because, you know, he can guard someone with his dribble. He can guard a longer player, a more physical player. He can guard shooters. And then the blocks, the steals, and the team concept that Colorado has, he always seems to be a part of it. I believe that, you know, he reminds me kind of a Dennis Rodman type of guy when you consider how he can impact the game without scoring. And he's blocked some shots against us in the last 2 years that I don't know if anyone else could have blocked them but him. And you know, I'll just stop with him because, to me, he's the hands-down defensive player of the year, and I think he's one of the elite defenders that plays college basketball.
Thanks, Sean.
Yep.
Any further questions for Coach?
There are no questions at this time.
Perfect. Sean, thanks for your time today. Good luck this week.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, we'll see you.